With that, we're going to get into our message. We've been talking about how blessed we are, understanding that we are in one of the blessed nation in the world, right? No matter how messed up it can be at times and how much we get things wrong at times. I mean, we get a lot of stuff right, too. I'm going to set y'all in. We get a lot of things right, too, in our country, right? We are blessed that we are here. We understand that more when people that don't live here come to visit us. Like when Andre and Anastasia came to visit us and they said, how is this? Why is that? What's going on here? How is that even happening? We don't even get that, right? I felt so bad one day when I opened up the pantry at our house because they came to stay with us. And we had, how many of you have a pantry that is floor to ceiling full of nothing to eat? Like, right? Like, you open it up, you're like, I got nothing to eat. And you shut it and walk away and go get something, right? She took a picture of our pantry and sent it to their sons. And they took a picture of their refrigerator. And it was about this big, and it had two things in it. And her son said, when are you coming home? We're hungry, right? She's like, in about 3 weeks, right? That's what happened. But we don't understand the culture that we live in, how blessed we are. We overlook it a lot of times. And that's what this message series was about, to go through and to talk about different things. Last week, we talked about how we were born into the family, how we traded the old for the new, right? This week, we're going to talk about because we're new, what happens. And a lot of this is going to stem, again, how we said that you have a spiritual principle and a physical principle, right? So if we want to understand how to be good parents, right, what do? We look to God because he's the ultimate father, right? How he gives, how he loves, how he does things. And then also, if I want to see how to be the best parent, I should look the way that God does things when I deal with my kids. How does God deal with me so I can deal with my kids? So we're going to look in the scripture today. Now, there's going to be some of you that are like, that's not right. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm going to read scriptures to you to say, this is what's in here. Do what you want to do with it, right? That's my job, right? My job is to say, this is what the Word of God says. Here you go. How many know the Holy Spirit can tell you how to do things way better than I ever could? And I might miss some things. Like, I may be wrong once or twice, right? Not all the time. I may be wrong. But what we're going to do is we're going to look in the scripture, and there's three points that I'm going to do. I don't know how long it's going to take me. It may take me a little bit. It may take me a long time. I'm not sure yet. But we're going to talk about being blessed sons and daughters and understanding that when we as humans, as children, right, are born into the world, there's a couple of things that have to happen, right? There's a couple of stages that we go through physically, same way spiritually. One of the things I'm going to submit to you this morning is that we skip spiritually. We go from 0 to 75 on our scale of age, right?
It's not the way it happens,
right? It's not the way it happens. Matter of fact, Paul says in one scripture, it says, you need to go back to milk. You're not ready for solid food, right? How many of you ever gave a baby food they weren't ready for yet? Was not good, right? So there you go. That's what we're talking about. But today we're going to talk about childhood, adolescence, and adulthood, right? We're going to go through those three things, and those aren't the 3 points, so don't write them in really quick. You'll be wrong. Childhood, according to scripture, was from 0 to 11, and then adolescence was from 12 to 19, and then from 20 on was being an adult, right? And you say, well, where do you get that? I'm going to read it in a minute. We're going to get to it. But one scripture that I want us to start off with today is Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 is what I'm going to read. I might read all the way through 6, but I have 1 through 3 right now. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many of you know children need to obey their parents, right? This is childhood. Children, do this. Then it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. We still look to that as being kids, but how many of you have a problem with a 5-year-old honoring their father and mother? You don't, right? Like my daughter's 11, and I tell her, I mess up so many times as a dad, and she says, no, you're the best dad ever, right? She honors me always. It's not till they get to be teenagers that they don't really care too much for their parents. Just be honest, right? How many of you got really, really smart when you got around 13, 14? You knew way more than your parents did, right? So this part is talking to mothers and fathers, and it's the first commandment with a promise. What is the promise? That is what everyone sees. And then you're missing one important key. One important key. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. See, we just say, well, you're going to live a long life if you honor your father and mother. But how many of you know sometimes a life that's not good is not a good life, right? Not to be crazy or out there or anything, but I told my wife, if something happens and they put me on a machine and I'm going to be there forever, pull it. So if she pulls the cord really quick, it's not because she doesn't like me, okay, y'all, if I ever get in that situation. Why is it? Because I've told her, man, I don't want to live if I'm not living. We're supposed to live life and a life of abundance, right? We need to understand that when we obey God's principles, when we learn the principles, we will see that life, that it may go well with us and that we will live long on the earth, right? Then it says this, verse 4. I'm going to go ahead and read 4 through 6 because we're going to do this anyway. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. How many of you know it's really simple for us to just do something because I'm supposed to do it? There's a complete and total difference in doing it because I love people and I love God, and God's called me to do these things, so I'm going to do it. How many of you know it's hard to love people? Some of y'all didn't raise your hand, but that's all right. You're sitting on it, so you can't won't go up. Y'all want to raise both of them. I understand that. Some people are not lovable. Just be honest. Sometimes you're not lovable. Sometimes you are. Sometimes my wife said this morning, we were talking about things on the way. My wife and kids were with Nick and Linda last night, so just me and my wife, and on the way to church. You know how you when you don't have your kids, you can have like real conversations that you can't have other times? And I asked her, I said, so what do you love the most about me? And I was telling her what I love the most about her. And you know those conversations. I'm going to stop there, y'all, other than this comment I'm going to make. She said, except for you being cranky a lot of the times, I love the heart that you have. Right? I love your heart, how you care for people, despite the fact that you're cranky a lot. I wish you weren't so cranky. I was like, I wish you weren't so honest right now, right? This was supposed to be like, I love you session, not a you need to change, right? But if the truth is there, how many of you know? You need to change, right? There's some truth in it. Maybe you need to look at it. So I'm going to look at that this week. But one of the things that we need to understand is there's a difference in doing things because you love God and love people and doing it because you have to, right? Doing it because you have to. A little kid, example, little kid, tell him you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Right? Like, he did it, but you could tell you didn't mean it, right? How many times do we do things God has called us to do with that kind of an attitude, right? How many, well, God told me to do it, so I have to do it. Man, okay. Number one in your notes, I'm going to go to it. This is about a child's training. One of the first things that needs to happen in the life of a child is training. Training is, by definition, the action of teaching a person or animal a particular skill or type of behavior. How many of you know when you're a kid, when your little one comes out, you first train them in things before you discipline them in things? It would be wrong to discipline them before you ever told them what was right and what was wrong, right? This is what the scripture says in verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, right? We're supposed to bring them up in what this book says. How many of you know, I'm just going to be real, and this is where some people are going to start being mad at me, but it's okay. Still love me anyway, because God said you had to. Well, I'm sorry. We look to other books on how to raise our children instead of this book that should tell us what we should do with our children. We look to what the world says, what society says is how we should train up our children and not the way that the Word of God says it. Now, again, I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. You do what you want to with it. I know how my wife and I do our kids, and I know the way that we're going to do it. But this is what Proverbs 22:6 says. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My mom and dad trained me up exactly the way that I was supposed to be trained up because other kids in our family did amazingly. I did not, however, right? So sometimes it's not in the training. It's in the hard-headedness of the child, right? Everybody's different. Everybody's different. But this is one of the scary things that people miss. Proverbs 23:13-14, it says, do not withhold discipline from a child. How many of you know that's part of what's wrong with society today? Just to be 100% honest. There's a lot of discipline that was withheld. Regardless of the type of discipline that came, there was no discipline. And we see what we have today from it. Then it says this, if you strike him with a rod, he will not die. I am living proof of that one. I am still here. Verse 14, but if you strike him with a rod, you will save his whole soul from Sheol. I like the way that the Message translation reads this one. I'm going to read it to you right now. It says, don't be afraid to correct your young ones. A spanking won't kill them. A good spanking, in fact, might save them from something worse than death. What could be worse than death? Let's look at the New King James Version that says this in the last end. It says, and deliver his soul from hell. So why is spanking a child because they took something that wasn't theirs the way to go? How could that deliver them from hell? How? Understand that when you do bad things happen, right? Even from people that love you. If I didn't love my kids, I wouldn't discipline them. I'd just let them run and do whatever they want. But I love them, and I don't want them to grow up the way that I did. I was disciplined a lot. We were talking about, they should have called me Beat as my middle name, right? That's like, we were talking about that at Thanksgiving. How many of you get together, talk about your stuff at Thanksgiving dinners, and you talk about when you were a kid and what happened? And man, my mom learns so much about her kids still to this day that she does not know. Some of it's good things she doesn't know. I was sitting with my friend Chad. And I went and saw him. He was in town visiting his brother with his mom and dad, Ham and Bobby. And Bobby has some secrets that she ain't told nobody yet. That still don't. She's like, yeah, I got some stuff we haven't talked about yet. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Ms. Bob. I don't know what you're talking about, right? There's some different things. And we're sitting around and we're talking. And I just remember, like, my kid childhood was getting spankings. My mom's like, you didn't get that many spankings. I'm like, I looked to Lori, and Lori's like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, I got more than any of the other ones in the family. Why? I deserved it, right? But you know what? It taught me and it trained me the right thing to do, whether I chose to do it or not. Right. You guys have all heard this. I'm going to start this, and I want you to finish it, right? Spare the rod. That is not in Scripture anywhere. You will not find that in Scripture. It's not. That's one of those verses that we say, and it sounds good, and I know where they get the principle from, but that's not what it is. I'm going to read it to you. It comes from Proverbs 13:24. It says, whoever, man, this is tough. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. The person that keeps correction away from their child doesn't really care about their child, according to scripture. Now I know there's stuff that says, hey, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, and I understand. And again, I'm not telling you how to raise your kids. You do or whatever, you do what you want to do. But think this thought: if God tells us that's how we're to train our earthly children, then why on earth do we think that we will not be disciplined from Him? Why on earth do we think that there won't be times in our Christian walk where He says, hey, we're going to talk about it right now, right? We're going to get you back to where you have to be. How many of you know bad things happen when you do bad things? Understanding this principle that just because I went to God and apologized doesn't mean that it will go away. There will still be consequences that I have to deal with here on earth because of the choices that I made. Case in point, I decide I don't want to kill somebody. I shoot them. Then I run to God. God, I'm so sorry I did that. He's like, all right, you're forgiven. Police still going to come get me. Yeah. Right? There's still going to be consequences. There's still going to be things that are going to take place that are not going to be good because of my actions. What happens? What is that? That's discipline. Just to be honest. Why do I let my kids fall down sometimes? I like, hey, don't do that. You're going to fall down. Don't do that. You're going to fall down. Okay. I'll just let you go. Bam. Oh, wow, you fell down. That's my parents. My parents have a video, or not a video. We didn't have videos when I was a kid. They used to set the recorder out and put it somewhere and hide it while we were decorating the Christmas tree. One of my dad's favorite ones, and some of y'all have heard this before, one of my dad's favorite ones is for like 5 minutes. He's like, Tobe, don't do that. You're going to break it. You're going to break it, Tobe. Tobe, you're going to break it. Like 5 minutes of him saying that constantly. And then you hear this crash, boom. And my dad says, oh, Tobe, you broke it, right? There's some things that... How many times does God say that to us? Don't do that. It's gonna hurt you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right, man. I'm just gonna have to let you do it once. I'm gonna be here to help you pick up the pieces, but here you go. There are some times in our Christian walk where God is going to discipline us. And why is that? Because he doesn't like us. No, because he loves us. Because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he just let us. All right, kids, go play in traffic. It'll be fun. Right? Jump in the puddle in the pothole in the middle of the road with your boots. It'll be great. Why do we? No, don't do that. It's going to kill you. It's going to hurt you. Come back. Jump in this puddle over here if you have to jump in a puddle, right? There's things that we need to understand, and God's word shares it and goes through it and tells us, lines it out. And if you say that it's not there, wow, I don't know if you've read the same book as me. Because it is there. It is there. This is what happens. The same thing that happens with that verse, spare the rod, spoil the child. We take what the world says about what the Bible says, not what the Bible actually says. And because of that, we end up in a wrong place. We end up with a wrong idea or attitude of what we are supposed to be and who we're supposed to be. We need to think about this. So we need to not listen to people. We need to listen to God's word. One of the things that we see about God and about how we're supposed to raise our kids is the first thing is, and I put it in your notes, be clear. How many of you have ever, like, my kid's done something. I was like, I told you not to do that. Like, yeah, but you said that, not this. You know what? You were absolutely correct. From now on, don't do any of that, right? Like, let's cover all of the basics and get everything. Because I've had times where I was about to come and get on my child, and my wife said, hey, that's not what you said. And I had to back up and say, you know what? I haven't taught you that yet. I haven't trained you in that yet. So because of that, I can't discipline you that way. But if it happens again, right? This is us talking about it. We need to be clear. I said, some joke when I don't remember even where it was from. I just remember the punchline of it. Y'all ready? So y'all going to get the punchline. Somebody found a genie and they rubbed a bottle and a genie came out and he was telling what he wants. He said, I want $1 million. And all of a sudden, a million deer stood around him, right? Why? Because he wasn't clear with his instructions. You know, there's stuff happens all the time at my house. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what I said. I said this. I'm like, well, you kind of said that, but this is what you said. That's not clear. How many of you know, we cloud the word of God with things. The word of God doesn't cloud itself, right? We take things and we make rules out of them that aren't technically there, but it works with what we want to say, and so we use it that way. Spare the rod, spoil the child, right? We leave out key points. Where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. But then it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, even giving your life up for them. Like, wait, that's not, I don't think that's in there. You just made that up. No, it's there. There's a lot of things in the scripture. We take a portion of what we want to have out of the scripture, but we forget all the rest of it. Resist the devil and he will flee. Sounds great. And it is in there, just like that. But right before that, it says, submit yourself unto God and then resist the devil and then he will flee. We want to do the minimal steps so that it fits us. We don't want to submit to God, but we want to resist the devil and let him flee. We want the problems to go away, but we don't want to do what it takes to get there. We need to understand when we're dealing with stuff, when God deals with us, he's very clear. We need to be clear with our children as well, right? The next thing, we need to be convincing. Back up what you say. So, I'm going to tell y'all a story about me. Y'all ready? I was in kids' church, and I was, again, as I said, I was a bit of a handful, right? I wasn't mean or like, I didn't do stuff bad and mean-spirited to people. I just was that kid that couldn't shut up and couldn't sit still. They would put me on ADHD medicine today. That's what they would do. That's why I drink a Monster before I preach or an energy drink before I preach, because it just calms me down a little bit. And y'all think I talk fast now. Just wait till I don't have one of them. But it's one of those things that's who I was. I was always kicking and moving and turning and talking. And it didn't matter where the teacher put me. Somebody else was talking to me. Even if I was in the corner by myself, it was still somebody across the room that was talking to me. I wasn't doing it myself, right? I was that kid. So I'm in kids' church, and this dude named Mike McLaughlin was teaching. And he said, if you don't sit down and be quiet, I'm going to march you in there and sit you on the front row. And this is what I said to him. Y'all ready? They always say it, but they never do it. Never. Do you know what happened to me? I walked down the hallway with my feet dangling and my hand up here as he walked in and looked at my dad on the front. He came in like a side door right there, and because it was right here and the pew was right there, and he threw me down on the thing and he turned around and looked at my dad like that because he was preaching, and then he turned around and walked away. He wanted to make sure that he saw me at that point, right? Why? Because they always say it, but they never do it. Do you know why a lot of kids are the way that they are? Because the parents or whoever's taking care of them says, if you do this, you're going to be in trouble. Well, you just did it. Now you're in trouble. Now you're in trouble. You're going to be in trouble if you do that again. Like, that, and that's what happens. Why? Because we're not consistent with what we do. Or today we stand behind the rules, but tomorrow we don't. Do you know God's always firm in what he says? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So all the things that we read in the Old Testament, I'm like, well, that's Old Testament. Doesn't mean it's gone away. Matter of fact, Jesus took it all a step further and said, it's not about what you do. It's about the heart behind why you do it. It's about your heart in a situation. We need to be convincing with what we do. If you're not going to do it, then don't say it. Because God doesn't, right? The next thing, we need to be compassionate. How many times has God dealt with you in anger? He hasn't yet. He hasn't. We live under what they call the dispensation of grace, which is not we don't ever get in trouble for it. It's grace, it's judgment deferred. We will all stand in front of him one day. We will all stand there, and he will say, why did you do this? This is what you did. It says we'll give an account for every idle word we speak. So what about our actions? What about our actions? Never discipline in anger. If I do it when I'm mad, man, everybody's going to die, right, in the house. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. If I take just a little bit and I sit down and I say, all right, baby girls, this is what happened. You did this. What do we say about that? We said, can't do it. What do we say was the consequence? It is going to be a spanking. You did it, right? Yes. So what has to happen now? What has to happen now? A spanking. Okay, let's do it. Then we go on about life. Then it's in the past and it's done. We make sure we don't do it again, right? But it's done. I might take them to get ice cream or something. Like, why do you reward your kid? Oh, because I want them to know that I still love them, even though that's what used to happen with me. So I was, this is crazy. I went to Lovell Elementary, right? And Don Maple was the principal. I remember Don Maple and then Preston B. Kaiser at the other one at Dream Lake. And I remember them all. Why? Because I went and saw them often, right? I would come into Don's office. He would spank me. I would get my three. That was back when they did licks. I'd get my three licks, grabbing my ankles. And then he would have me sit down. And he had a little mini fridge with a Coke and a little candy bar on top. Why he gave me a candy bar and a Coke? Maybe he was just being, you know, horrible to my teachers when they sent me back. But I used to sit down and we would talk for like 30, 40 minutes about how life went. Why? Because he liked me, but he had to discipline me, right? Thinking that thought, I love my kids, but I have to discipline them. But I don't want to do it when I'm angry or frustrated. What would happen? Y'all say, God doesn't get mad like that. He did in the Old Testament. He went to Moses and said, Moses, I'm going to kill them all. Moses said, no, God, not right now. No, you can't do that. You're God. Remember? He's like, you know what? Okay. And then Moses came back like a week later or something, like a little while later. God, just kill them all. God's like, no, I can't do that, right? They say if God and Moses ever got in a killing mood at the same time, we'd all be gone, right? We need to understand we can't discipline in anger. We can't discipline in anger. We need to understand that sometimes in the moment, grace needs to happen, and maybe the judgment comes after a while when you're not frustrated and upset. It's the way God does it with us. It's the way God does it with us. So moving into adolescence, we go into teaching. How many of you know training and teaching Two different things. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, it is. Teach is to cause, to show, or to cause to know something, or to cause to know how, right? Cause to know how. How many of you know doing something just for the sake of doing it will drive you crazy? If you don't understand why. Like, if I sit down and I tell my kids why it's bad to lie. One, because Jesus says, if you love your neighbor as yourself and you love God, then you've taken care of all the commandments. One of the big ten, right, is don't lie. Bear false witness. So, one, is because it's a sin according to Scripture. Number two is if I love you, then no matter what, I'm always going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts you. Even if it hurts me, right? Why do we not tell the truth? Because we want to protect ourselves or others. Sometimes, that's the worst thing could happen. I'll just be honest. Going back to my wife, and I'm not going to tell you the story again about the desk. Y'all all remember that one, right? I'm just telling Trevor, and this is my way to tell you we purchased it from instead of him giving it to us, right? After she told me not to buy it. That's what happened. She came in and said, how can I trust anything that you say now about this? You know, that's why we do, we ain't got no little ones in here. That's why we do Christmas the way we do Christmas. That's why we do the tooth turkey, because I refuse to be called a fairy, you know? That's why we do the Easter bunny the way that it is, right? They know that it's not real, but we still pretend and play, right? Why? Because one day they're going to sit down and think, man, he told me about this fat dude come down and bring me present. We don't even have a chimney. So there's that. And then this, I ain't never seen no Easter bunny. And why does he lay eggs? Like, I don't get that, right? And all these things that he told me were real and now they're not. So what about this God that loves you, that can do anything, that can move mountains, that will always be with you? How can I believe that statement now? Right? Trust. That's why lying is so, not lying is so important, because there's a trust that has to happen. Right? If you go down all the other things, we learn knowing the reason why we do what we do. And that's what teenagers say, right? Now, of course, your 3-year-old, 4-year-old, they get in that 2-year-old, they get in that spotlight. Why? Because why? Because one of the worst things I think that we can do as parents is say, because I said so. To a kid that asks a question. Because part of learning is asking questions, right? Now, when they get to be in their teenage years like me, I used to ask questions just to make them mad. I get that. There's sometimes that happens. And they learn how to deal with it. But also, asking questions is one of the best ways to learn. This is what it says. It says, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How can we do that? Let me ask you this question. How can we teach our kids about what this word says if we don't know it ourselves? Yeah. If we don't know it ourselves. You know, so we were talking about different religions and the way different people believed and different things like that. And I'm going to tell you what, the Jehovah's Witnesses have one thing that I love about them. Like, their doctrine's all jacked up, but there's one thing I love about them. Do you want to know what it is? You know the guys that come to your door with the tie and they ride the bikes and they do the different things, right? One, they've been through class after class after class after class, not only learning their religion, but learning our religion. Not only learning what they believe, but learning what other people believe, so that when they sit in front of you and start to talk to you, they can defend every point using your word. Second thing is, they give up 2 years of their life to go someplace. Those guys don't live here. They live with a family, right? So they're from Washington or New York or someplace like that, and they've come here to devote 2 years of their life to trying to spread the gospel, right? You say, well, that's out there. We don't even come to Bible classes on Wednesday nights. We don't even get in any kind of word other than on Sunday mornings, and if we do, it might be the verse of the day that scrolls to our phone. Now, I'm not saying everybody does that, but I'm going to tell you probably 95% of the Christian church does that. So how can I teach my kids something I don't even know? Yeah. Let's tell a joke or something and get all happy. Deuteronomy 4:9. This isn't a joke, it's scripture. Only take care and keep your soul diligently. This is talking to the parent, right? This is talking to the adult here. Only take care and keep your soul diligently. Do you know how many of us are very lax on the way we keep our soul? The way we keep our lifestyle, the way we keep what we do. Why? Because that's what the world does, man. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not trying to put you under law and say you have to do these things. I'm trying to tell you, you do these things, your life will be better than they ever were before. Why? Because you'll be living under what God has already ordained and set forth. They say, look at the old church. Look at the New Testament church. Do you know what? They came to church every single night. One dude fell asleep in a window, sitting in the window, fell out and died. They went down, prayed for him. He got back up. They went upstairs and did Bible studies some more. See, we want to look to the old things when it's something that we like and want to be a part of it. But when it's something that should be and needs to be done today, we don't need to meet every night of the week. But you do need to be in your word every single day. Yeah. How do you have accountability to do that? Because we come and meet together. Amen. Moving along quickly. Only take care, keep your soul diligently. This is why, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Then it says this, make them known to your children and your children's children. Remember what God has done and keep it ever in front of you, right? Sometimes I talk about my past. Sometimes I talk about stumbling in here drunk. Sometimes I talk about being discharged from the Navy for drugs. Sometimes I talk about all these things in my past. And it's not to give glory to the devil. It's to say, look how far God has brought me. And then I use those statements to teach my children why drugs are bad. Why, in my opinion, drinking alcohol is bad. Why these things are wrong to do. Why is that? Why do I do that? Because I just want to be a mean dad and tell them they can't do stuff. No. Because I remember how jacked up my life was at those times. And I don't ever want them to go there. Do you know what happens? The Israelites forgot what it was like to be in Egypt. That's why they were in the middle of the desert saying, we want to go back. We need to teach our children the ways of God. I was thinking about this last night sitting at the table as I was going over things again and studying. How many of what happened, what we used to do, what used to be taught from grandmother to child to daughter, you know, to daughter for the grandmas and from the dads on working on cars or fishing or hunting or doing things were passed down from generation to generation to generation, and that's what they taught. So do you know what? And this is where my mind goes. Y'all know I'm kind of weird about this kind of stuff. But if everything went stupid like people, like the conspiracy theorists have said, like, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. They ain't just theories now. They're not conspiracy anymore, right? We see that going on around us. That's all I'm going to say about that. Y'all take what you want. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in that one, all right? What happens is we forget. If everything shut down and there was no electricity or running water at your house, would you even be able to function?
Nope.
Most of us can't cook over a fire, right? Most of us can't do things that they used to do was commonplace and teach how to do it. Most people can't sew anymore, right? Even the seamstress people get stuff all jacked up now, right? I'm just kidding. Sometimes it is. I got one leg like this, man. I don't know what happened. There's things that should have been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. Well, now it's boring and we don't really need to do that. We can just go to Target and buy some. What happens if Target shuts down or Walmart shuts down? What happens if Albertsons, or not Albertsons, we don't have Albertsons. That's in Louisiana. What happens if Publix shuts down, right? What happens? We're all, man, lack of toilet paper just about devastated us. You know what? Everybody's buying toilet paper. They're like, don't worry about buying toilet paper. We got plenty now, okay? But it's one of those things. How can we take one thing away and not understand? Because we haven't thought about the past and about where they all came from. If we would look back in the days of the Depression and the different things, and we would learn from those things, the way people dealt with stuff back then, maybe, now I know that we have a bunch of different, we have all kind of fancy gadgets and things that do stuff and all that. What happens if it breaks? Let me ask you this. What happens if your phone or your iPad breaks? Can you find a scripture in the Bible? Just think that thought. That's something for me, too, because I'll be like, man, I know it's in there. It says something like this, and I'll Google half the phrase. Oh, yep, there it is. Pull it up. Look, I already know this verse. It's right here. Would I be able to do that with this? Would you? Would you be able to find Habakkuk? Right? Like, well, I know it's somewhere in there. It's important. I'm going to move on. I'm gonna move on. I gotta get my computer back. You just messed all up while I was swinging it around. I don't know where I'm at. I'm lost right now. So the Israelites forgotten how bad it was. And think this thought. Well, I'm going to get to that being an adult. We're going to come back to the Israelites, all right? Deuteronomy 6:7, it says again. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you raise. When are you supposed to be talking about these principles and these things of God? All the time. You know what I love about my dad? I'm going to tell y'all. I love that the man that was standing right here was the man that was sitting in a lazy boy at home. Amen. Like, same guy. Didn't have a preacher voice or a whatever you want to call it. He was the same exact person when he was here and when he was at home. And the reason why I know that is because I was with him all the time. Look, the frozen peas got like the Holy Spirit walking down past them when he went to the store. Why? Because he was praying in tongues and singing in tongues. People were looking at him like he was weird. I'm like, yeah, I know it's my dad. He's a preacher. He just doesn't think, man. Don't worry about him. You know, he'd be all right. Right? Why? Because that was him. Amen. Do you know what? That's who we should be as children of God. Yes. Always talking about the things of God. Always sharing what he's done for us. Always. Why? Because people are watching you. I'm going to tell a story about my dog. His name was Petey. I'm going to tell you the importance of knowing about it. I came home. When I first came home from the Navy, I was still really rough kind of dude at the time, just to say the least, right? And so I started working, building garden centers on Home Depots and all across the country. And I would go away on Monday and I'd come back on Friday. So I'd be there, you know, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday night. I'd leave out 4 o'clock on Monday morning and be gone. And I came home one day and I lived in the house I live now. My mom and dad lived in it. And there's an apartment upstairs above the garage, separate from the house. And that's where I lived, right? And I came home, and Petey, the wonder dog, that's what I called him. He was just a little mutt thing, man. It just had a black spot here, just hair everywhere. Anyway, Petey would come and stay with me on a weekend, and then he would go to Mamaw and Papaw's during the week, right? Because they live right there. I came home one time, and my dad said, Tobe, have you been cursing at the dog? And I was like, has he been complaining? Like, I don't get where this conversation is coming from. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And what had happened is one of my nieces had heard something somewhere with a dog and a bad word in it, an expletive with a dog, and she was singing a song, playing with her stuff. Curse word dog, curse word dog, curse word dog. You know, and they're like, she had to hear it somewhere. Where did she hear it from? Like, it turns out it was not me, okay? Even though I did curse like a sailor at that time, I was a sailor, so it worked out, right? But it's one of those things. She didn't hear from me, but she heard it, and because of it, what happened? It got in her mind, and that's what she was thinking about when she was doing everything, right? What happens? Why is it important for us around the people that we're around to always be talking about how good God is, to always be talking about what he's done, to always be bringing up how blessed we are in these situations? Why is it important to do those things? So that when my little kids are sitting here, do you know what they're singing? Jesus loves me and all this stuff instead of the garbage that's on the radio that come out that talk about all kind of stuff. Amen. It's important because what happens is we start to teach the people that are around us what to do, how to do things. And the way that we do it is by what we do, what we say, and how we do things. That's what they learned. Jesus, Luke 2:42, says when he was 12 years old, he went up as according to the custom. This is where we see the transition from childhood to adolescence, right? Is in the scripture. He went up and he did things that were according to the custom. That's when they became a man, a young man, right? And so then it says this, after 3 days, they found him. Remember, if you ever think you're a bad parent, just take heart. Joseph and Mary lost Jesus for 3 days, right? So it's okay. Like, so what if I left her at Walmart just for a minute? I came back, right? No, that's bad. Don't do that. But don't beat yourself up about your issues that you have, right? So after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. How do we learn? Asking questions. When they come to you and ask questions, man, don't be mad at them. Don't be frustrated at them. Answer them. find a way when they've came and asked you the same question three times. They didn't understand it the first two. Don't get mad at them. Maybe you need to do a better job explaining it. I love one of the things John said a while back. He said, if my five-year-old causes me to lose my inner, my inside, my peace, it's not that I need a better five-year-old. I need to be a better parent, right? I need to explain things differently. I need to have grace a little bit differently than what I do. Since I asked God to help me with that, I have been tested, y'all. It happens. But it's one of those things, man. We need to let him ask questions. Jesus is sitting there. He's asking questions. He's learning. And this is what it said. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Why? Because they started to ask him questions. You know, when my daughter comes and asks me, Dad, this is $5. And we did it yesterday because she got a gift card. We were at Target. She's like, this is $10. And this is $1. And this is $2. How much is it? I'm like, well, let's think about it. That is how much? What if you add this to it? She's like, now she's finger. She's 8. Oh, it's 15. Like, what if you add another dollar to it? It's 16. I was like, okay, there's your answer, right? Now, could I have just said, oh, it's $16? I could have. I might maybe had to use my fingers too, but I could have, right? But it's one of those things that by making them ask the questions and think the process. Do you know what my dad does when I ask him about something in the Word of God? He tells me about where it's at. He don't tell me where it's at no more. It's changed. He used to tell me right where it's at. Like his Bible. And it's not because of him. It's because he's helping me. His Bible, he used the same Bible for 40-something years, right? He knows exactly where everything's at. Y'all think that I'm being funny. I'm not. He'll say, it's in this book. It's this chapter. He said, I don't remember the verse, but it's on that. There's four columns in his Bible. There's reference column, and then the Bible's in the middle, right? It's a bigger one. And he'll say, it's in the third column about halfway down the page on the right side. Like, okay, Dad. Because he gave me one of those Bibles, so I'll be like, yeah, very good, Dad. You want to try another one? Like, right? That's just how he does it. Why? Because he's learned it. But he doesn't answer my question anymore like that. He says, it's between here and here. Why don't you look for it? Why does he do that? One, I get a better sense of what's going on. I read these scriptures. A lot of times the reason why we take things out of context is because we don't read the before and the after. We just read that little verse so that it can fit what we want it to fit. But if we read the whole paragraph, it doesn't fit. Right? It's important. Questions. Instead of being up, use it to teach, man. One of the most important things in teaching is again, being able to ask questions. How many of you know God sometimes doesn't give us the answers? He'll put a scripture on our heart. Or he'll put somebody in our path that'll give us a scripture, say, hey, man, God just laid this on my heart. I don't know what it means. Here's this. One of the coolest things, we were in our class the other day, and we were talking about the gifts and the things that God did at Dr. Steve's house. And one of the things that was a surprise or a shock that a couple of us were sitting there saying was I thought that prophecy, like, they just laid everything out. Like, sometimes a prophetic word is somebody coming up and saying, man, I don't really understand, but God gave me this one word for you. Does it make any sense? And you might be like, no, not at that moment. But I want to encourage you to do this. Do what Mary did when the angel came to her. It says she pondered those things in her heart. She put that word that came in her heart, and she sat back and waited to see what would happen. Because sometimes God will give Dr. Steve one, then he'll give me a word, then he'll give Aaron a word, and we'll all tell Dwayne the three different words, and they fit together perfectly. Amen. Right? Amen. It happens that way sometimes. Sometimes we ask God for the answer, and he doesn't answer us the way that we think he should, or in a way that we think is even an answer. But get in the Word of God. My buddy sent me a meme the other day from Louisiana. He said, I wish God set a bush on fire and be like, hey, stupid, do this. I'm like, okay, God, I'll do it, right? I wish that's how he spoke to me. That's what he did to Moses. Like, why didn't he do it to me? He didn't call him stupid, but it's, again, one of those things. Again, teaching, training, we need to do that. We need to also understand that our spiritual side of that is there's some training that happens. If you have a question about the Word of God, don't think that it's ever stupid. Why? Because there's probably six people sitting next to you that have the same thought, but they're not saying it because they don't want to look dumb. Look, I'm all about looking dumb. I'll ask some stupid questions. Like, I don't even care. Right? Why? Because somebody will learn. There was a guy, and I've said this before, and what time is it? I got to hurry. I got one more point. There was a guy that was on the radio that I used to listen to all the time. He was on a radio program. His name was Albert. And all the other guys had doctorates and all these things, and Albert was just this dude that he just, you had to listen to him, right? He just, his grammar was all jacked up, and his thought line of questioning was all, everybody that knew all the scriptures and knew all the words would look at him like, no, Albert, no. No, let's talk about this again. Do you know why I loved Albert being on those shows? Because that was me, and I had that exact question. But I was too scared to call in and be like, hey, what about this? So they'd be like, no, Toby, no, right? I just let Albert do it. I was so happy because of Albert. You know what we need to do? We need to be Alberts sometimes. We need to ask questions, even if we think they're dumb about the Word of God, because that's how we learn. And when somebody comes to you with a question, I'm like, man, that's so dumb. Look, it's right here. Say, oh, man, hey, you know what? I had that question one time. Now I know the answer. Now I've found it. It's right here. Why is it important to know scriptures and know where they're at? Right? I don't know about y'all. I struggle with that. I can remember the scripture, but I can't tell. I know it's between Genesis and Revelations. It's in there, and it may even be between Matthew and Revelations. I'm just saying, right? Or even, you know, go to Romans and Revelations. I can narrow some stuff down like that sometimes, but sometimes I can't remember. It's important to do that because how many of you know, just like we did with those other things, I can quote something that sounds really, really good. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's in there. No, it's not. It's not. But this is, find it here, right? And then what do? They go and they start reading. You know what? I'm going to go back and read Proverbs, some of the Proverbs again this time, because I was started to read, I think it was Proverbs 3, I started to read. I was like, wow, man, that's good stuff. Why? Thanks, God, for putting it in the Bible, right? I'm just reading through it. I'm like, I need to stop studying and just read this for a minute, because I need to have that in my life, right? Stuff I'm dealing with or going through. Sometimes that happens too. Ask questions. Get in your word. Look for things. Teaching. Next thing is trusting. How many of you know there comes a point where we're no longer a teenager, but we step into being an adult? And one of the things that happened in the scripture is at the age of 20. And I have some verses there. I'm going to read through it right there. At the age of 20, they started bringing burnt offerings to the temple. At the age of 20, they started being accountable for certain things that others weren't accountable for. And let me read it to you real quick. Exodus 30, verse 14. Everyone who's numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. Numbers 1:3. From 20 years old and upward, all Israel who are able to go to war with you, and Aaron shall list them company by company. Numbers 14:29-33. This is one of the things where we see why this was such an importance. He said, your dead body shall fall in the wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one of them shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joseph, the son of Nun. Your little ones, who you said would become prey, I will bring them in. So this is what the Israelites were saying. Our little ones are prey. They're being picked off out here. Don't you even care about us? You're not even taking care of us. He said, everyone who grumbled against that will not receive the blessings and the promises that I have given to you. But the little ones that you said ain't going to make it, they're going to walk in with me. I'm going to take them, right? There's an accountability that happened, and it was from the age of 20 up. That's when it happened. So everyone that was 20 years or older did not go into the promised land. Because of complaining. Wonder if complaining has that same effect on God today in his eyes when we do it to him. Just a thought, right? Aren't you glad we live under grace? Woo. So even the world does this principle, right? It separates out juveniles and adults, right? If you're under the age of 18 and you commit a certain kind of a crime, they'll charge you as a minor and not an adult. And there's different penalties and different principles. Sometimes, depending on the crime, they put you up as an adult and they don't even deal with the rest of it. Right? There's a different standard. There comes a point where we are no longer children. And this is for us right here. There comes a point where we are no longer children. In our spiritual walk, there needs to come a point where we're no longer children. Right? There's a time for childish things. What happens when you have a child? You got to change diapers. You got to clean up a lot of messes. You got to do a lot of stuff that is not fun. Right? Do you know what? We again, I said this earlier, we have a tendency to say, all right, say this prayer, give your life to God, now go. How hard is that? Right? But we expect people, as soon as they give their life to Christ, to be an adult in Christ immediately. Look, there's going to be some messes we're going to have to help clean up. There's going to be some phone calls that's going to come, and we're going to have to say, man, look, okay, I see that you missed it. Let's do this. Let me show you what the Word of God says about that, and maybe that'll help you not to get in that position again, right? Let me show you about that. And then there's a time. Let me show you. This is my opinion. Y'all ready for my opinion? This is my opinion on some of the state of the church today. We see that we put people that are still children in Christ, we put them in positions of leadership and authority, and then 4 or 5 years later, they decide, and they take off and take thousands of people that believed in what they were saying and look to them for advice and spiritual counsel now and look to them and say, well, if they don't believe, I don't believe either. Look at the Christian music world over the last year. There's been some people that have been in ministry doing concerts and seeing people saved and doing amazing things and now have decided that they don't want anything to do with God. And all these people that were underneath them, learning from them, put them in the place, are now walking away from God as well. Because if it wasn't real for them, it's not, how can it be real for me? There's a time that it takes growth to happen in our lives. If God would have given me a church to be a pastor of when he told me that I was going to be a pastor, I'd have jacked it all up and the doors would have closed quick. I'm just gonna be real, right? It took 14 and a half years of me doing different types of ministry and learning what ministry is, how to deal with people, what to do, how to work stuff, how to present the gospel to people in a way that they could understand it. I started as kids. Everybody's like, man, you explain things so simply. I was like, yeah, I started with kids. Then I went to teenagers. I made a lot of mistakes as a kids pastor. I'm just going to be real. Some of them was in the games that I played. I'll tell you about it later, not today. But it's like I made a lot of mistakes, and I learned, and I grew. And then I went to the youth, and I learned some different things. And then I came to the adults. I'm just going to be real. Y'all don't get mad at me. Can I be real with y'all for a minute? Do you know the hardest position that I've ever had in ministry has been this position right here? And I'm going to explain to you why. I'm going to explain to you why. Don't get mad, all right? Raise your hand if you won't get mad. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand. Some of y'all just waiting to get mad at me. Okay, I don't know. This is the hardest position because people come to me and ask me godly biblical advice, and I give it to them, and they say, yeah, but you don't understand. I know better than this because they already know what to do. Well, then why did you come for advice? Like, why did you come for counseling? Right? If you already know the plan and know the things, I'm not telling you my idea. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. You take that and use it, right? It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, right? Isn't that what they say? I didn't just call y'all old dogs. I promise. It's hard, right? It's hard to take some things and change. When it was a kid, I'm like, hey, you need to do that. They're like, okay, Pastor Toby, I'll go do it, right? And they would do it. Teenagers would ask me why and sometimes do it being grumpy, right? I don't want to do it, but if you say I have to. And then seeing the results, they're like, man, that was great. I should have listened to start with, right? We need to understand that sometimes we're still babes in Christ. We need to go back to the milk. We need to go back to the milk and understand our foundation. We built our foundation jacked up. We need to go back and unbuild and rebuild from the ground up sometimes. Sometimes we need to do that because we've been taught things that aren't necessarily in the Word. Then what happens? As an adult, when we come out of adolescence into being adult, what ends up happening? There's greater responsibility put on us. Why? Because it's our turn to now turn around and to teach the generation that is behind us. Scripture talks about how the elderly ladies in the church are supposed to teach the young, newer ones that are just coming to Christ. That's not just age-wise. That's ministry-wise. That's spiritually-wise, right? One of the most deadly things to people's relationship with God is being put into a ministry position or being put into a place before they're ready for it. And it destroys not only their lives, but the other people's lives that they're ministering to. Going back to the praise and worship team, right? The Christian music, not our praise and worship team, not here. Other ways, right? Going back to seeing what happens there. This is what ends up happening. We become more accountable for the things that are in the Word of God. Why? Because we're teaching them to other people. That's why in Timothy it says, not everybody should be teachers because teachers are held to a higher standard. I'm going to explain to you this. You all are teaching someone. You all are teaching someone. And we all should be teaching someone. We all should be taking what God has given us, the principles that he's put into our life, and giving it to other people. Do you know what ends up happening when you come out of adolescence and into an adult? You realize that the world does not revolve around you, and you realize that it's about other people that God has placed into your life. Right? My world is not just all about me anymore. I mean, every now and then, April has to pull me back. But, right? So it's not always about me. What is my life about? What is Christmas about now? Right? What is all those things? Teaching my kids, first of all, why we really do Christmas, and it ain't about the presents. Right? It's about Christ coming to us and the gift that God has given to us. And he gave a gift to us, and so we're going to give gifts to other people. Why? Because we love them too, right? That's why we do presents at our place. But it's not about me just teaching them or giving them stuff. Do you know the greatest joy I have is watching them open up a thing that costs $5 at Five Below and them being so happy that they got it, right? When they're going to forget about it next week, right? Or it's going to break because it costs $5 at Five Below, right? It's one of those things. It's the principal fact that it's not about me. It's about the people that are coming behind me. And it's my job to teach them and to train them and to show them. And how the best way can I do it? By being an adult, by being the way that I should be, and living my life according to the word of God. Not just adult physically, but spiritually. As a Christian, that's one of our most important things. We should, as we come out and we learn things, we should have the mindset of who can I give this principle to? Who can I share this principle with? We come on Sundays and God said, why do I ask you guys what your favorite point was? Because I just want you to tell me I did a good job. I don't care if you think I did a good job. I'm just going to be real. I mean, I like to hear it. Don't get me wrong. Don't come and be like, man, that was horrible, Toby. Thanks. Don't do that. Like, I like to, but I do want you to take that principle. And if you've grabbed a hold of one principle and you work on that one principle and you start sharing that one principle, think this thought. Look around. I don't know how many people are in. How many people are in here? Did you count? 56. There's 56 people in here right now. If all 56 of us, and who knows how many is online, right? If all 56 of us get one point and one principle that God told us to work on, not just from here but from anywhere, and we worked on that one point this week and we shared it with one person, that'd be 56 people that learned a principle from God that somebody shared something with. Now, if I take that one principle and I talk to 20 people, and Aaron takes it and talks to 20 people, and Dwayne takes it, and everyone in here takes it and talks to 20 people, I'm not a mathematician. I ain't gonna pretend. That's a lot of people, y'all. It's important that we take what God has given us and give it to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's what we're here for. We need to understand it's our turn to share what Christ has done with us. When we become an adult, we understand that it's not about us. It's about others. When we become spiritually adult, it's not about us. It's about others. Do we still take care of ourselves? Yeah, because if I don't eat, I can't take care of my, like on the airplane. If the airplane's going down, what do they say? Put your mask on first and then help the other person next to you. Why? Because if you die trying to get theirs on and you don't get it on, if you start struggling and you can't breathe and you can't, your brain starts going foggy and you can't function, you can't help them. One of the principles, that's another principle. It's a squirrel, but it's another principle. Get yourself right before you try to start fixing other people or helping other people be fixed, right? Just a thought. But it's one of those things. If I'm healthy, if I'm spiritually healthy, then what am I doing? I'm helping plant seeds and helping other people be spiritually healthy. If I'm spiritually unhealthy, I'm hurting myself and others. And others. It's important because you know what? This is important. Guys, come on up. I'm going to read one more scripture. Ladies, come on up. People who are singing, come to the front. I got to start saying that. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. According to last week, we are adopted into the family. That means you're my brothers and sisters. And do you know what? I want to hear one day when I'm standing, like, I don't know if this is how it's going to work. I haven't read that Revelation. How many of you have not read Revelations, like, in depth and studied it all? I have not, right? I have not. I'm still worried about how to, like, that's going to come. I figure it's, like, going to be a boot camp. Like, when I get there, I'm going to be like, here, go there. I'm like, yes, sir. You know, that's when I get, it's going to happen, right? But it's important to know and important to read through and to see some different principles. But it's one of these things. What I want to do is I want to be standing in front of the throne with all these people and see God look at Shane and Aaron and Dwayne and I'm sorry, all these other people that are there, and him to say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant. This is my son in whom I'm pleased," right? About the people that I helped, the people that I shared scripture with, the people that I saw. I want to hear it myself, but I want to see the same thing said about you all. That's what I want. I want to see the impact that my ministry had on other people. Like, well, you won't see that. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to store up treasures in heaven. What do you think treasures are? I mean, it's not a new coffee maker, right? There's going to be treasures. There's going to be rewards. Hopefully there's coffee. I don't know. But there's going to be treasures and rewards and things that are going to come because of the ministries that I did today here. I'm going to know an impact that I made. You're going to know the impact that you made in heaven. What are we doing to impact? Are we still adolescents who have to be cleaned up after? Are we in our teenage years where we know everything but we don't really know it? Just to be honest, there's still a lot we need to learn. Or are we in the adult phase of our spiritual walk, our spiritual life, where we are teaching and training and showing others how to find God by the way that we live, by the things that we do? I want us to leave with that thought. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes and say, be honest with yourself. I'm not going to make anybody raise their hand. I just want you to be honest. And as I pray this prayer in a minute, I want you to say it inside. I want you to say it yourself to God. Say it however you want. You don't have to use my words. But the scripture says if we ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to us, right? Dear Heavenly Father, today, as your sons and daughters, we want to know. We want to know where we're at in our walk with you, Father. We want to know our position. God, I ask that you'd allow us to take away the thoughts of where we're at right now, whether we're still children or adolescents, or whether we went straight to being adults, or whether we're adults in our spiritual walk. It's just a thought process, a concept, Father God. But you know our hearts, whether we care about others or whether it's solely about us, Father. We do the things that we do because it's, as the scripture said earlier, it's eye candy for others to see. Our spiritual walk, the things that we do, it's just for eye service. It's just so that others see how holy we are or how great we are, God. But you know our hearts. You know the reasons why we do the things that we do. You know the impact that we make. I'd ask that you would help us understand that everything that we do, that everything we do for you, Father God, be because we love you, because we love others, not because we're trying to please the people that are around us or look holy, but it's because we are making an impact and a difference for your kingdom, for your glory, so that people look to you, even if they don't ever see us. And I thank you for that, Father. If there's anyone in here that doesn't know God to be your Lord and Savior, the cool thing about it is it's not difficult. There is a difficult road that comes after. Swimming upstream is what I like to refer it to. But this is the thing, man. You're not swimming upstream by yourself. You got somebody pulling you along, carrying you through it. That's our Father. And he sent his son so that we could have freedom. We could have access to him so that we could... We could not be cast out, but be brought into the family. If you want to be a part of the family today, I'm going to say a prayer. It's not this prayer that does it. It's not these words that do it. The scripture says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we will be saved. When we believe in something, everything changes. When we start speaking it to others, it makes it real, not only in our life, but in their life. So this morning, as we say this prayer, man, I want you to understand that there's going to be a change. There's going to be a transition that we talked about last week where the old person is laid down and you're going to become new today. Because of that, we walk differently. We talk differently. We act differently as sons and daughters of God. Won't you repeat this after me? Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You gave your son so that I could have access to you, so that I could be different, so I could leave my old self behind and become a new creation. I want that. I accept it. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give the people who said that prayer a hand in the house this morning. God is good to us, amen? I want us to go out this door understanding how blessed we are to have a Father who disciplines us, who have a Father who trains us and teaches us, to have a Father who allows us to be a part of what He's doing in His other children's lives. You know what? One day my girls are going to grow up, and although I'm still going to be their dad, they're going to be adults and they're going to be on their own, and I'm going to have to trust that I instilled everything that I could into them, and then they're going to have to live their life the way that they feel is best for them, right? And at that point, I'll still be dad, but they're, according to Scripture, a brother and sister of mine in Christ. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. We need to walk beside them. Amen? Stand to your feet. We're going to sing. What are we singing?
I Have Decided.
I Have Decided. Man, that's a good song. I like it. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.